Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Focusing on things more local, I wanted to try and understand this case of the so-called Facebook rapist. He escaped from jail. Was he killed? Was he not killed? What is the situation? Is there something, a larger cover-up at play? Certainly, the information that we're seeing seems to indicate that. Chad Thomas is CEO of IRS Forensic Investigations. Chad, thank you as always. How are you?
I'm well, and you, sir?
I am well, thank you. This case is looking stranger and stranger. For anyone who hasn't been following, can you give us a little bit of an update or a little bit of context here, rather?
Well, the suspect, Thabo Bester, came to notoriety during the 2010, 2011, 2012 period, when Facebook was still a massive thing. He used to lure women with fake promises of modeling contracts, etc. Those women would be robbed, they'd be raped. And this happened throughout South Africa. He did it in Gauteng, he did it in KZN, he did it in Cape Town. Eventually he was caught. Eventually he was convicted. So we, long before we had the Tinder swindler overseas, South Africa had the Facebook rapist. He was also accused and found guilty of murdering his girlfriend at the stage in Cape Town. So not a nice chap by any account. Exceptionally charming, exceptionally clever and professional in the way in which he's conducted himself over the years. And it would seem that this charm, the way in which he's conducted himself, lends us to believe that he's obviously indicating a lot of sociopathic trends. And we see this in respect of videos that have come out purportedly of him pretending to be overseas while in actual fact in prison. And this leads us to believe that if he was so audacious and able to project himself as being a businessman operating out of prison, whereas people thought during these virtual meetings he was overseas, this could have only happened with the complicity of the correctional services. So fast forward, body gets found, burnt beyond recognition, in solitary confinement. Everybody comes out and says, Thabo Bester, he's dead. DNA testing, we know there's a historical backlog. Everybody thinks, oh, well, he's dead. Thank God he'll never come out. He won't hurt another person. And then stories start emerging that the person found in the cell didn't die from smoke inhalation or from the third-degree burns, but that there was blunt force trauma in the head. Rumors start coming out and ground up, and we must give them kudos. They're an independent media investigative unit. They went out and they started investigating this. And then there were sightings of this chap, and it turned out that he did not, in fact, die in this fire. He is, in fact, walking amongst us. And it is one of the most audacious escapes in our country's history.
It's just unbelievable. Does that mean that this, whoever was burnt there, was murdered for the sake of this escape?
Well, with the blunt force trauma to the head, that would definitely suggest as much. We don't know whether it was somebody who was brought in from outside the prison, whether it was another prisoner, whether it's a prison worker. It's all very concerning. And what this, of course, points to is incompetence, negligence, and outright corruption of the highest degree in respect of the Department of Correctional Services and or the private security company that runs this particular prison, because this is one of the very few private prisons in South Africa.
Wow. So this is very, it's a massive problem. And how far up could this potentially go?
The planning of such an escape, considering that somebody was in solitary confinement in a modern prison where you are closely monitored, is indicative that a lot of people involved. Remember, a body had to be brought in and a human being that was alive had to be taken out. This points to a massive conspiracy. What people don't seem to realize, however, in South Africa is that our gangs are some of the oldest prison gangs in the world. We all see these movies of prison gangs in other countries, but people don't realize that the lumber gangs in South Africa have existed for over 100 years, and they control the prisons, whether it's the 26ers, the 27s, the 28s, whether it's those who want to escape that are known as the Royal Air Force or the Springbokker or the Big Five with the informants. They run the prisons. They run it either through threat or violence towards the warders or through financial incentive. And in this particular instance, there could only have been massive financial incentive for a lot of people to become involved, including other prisoners, because prisoners speak. They get advantages if they become informers or they become trusted. So for them to have kept quiet about this means they would have had to have been paid along with the prison services personnel themselves.
How connected was this guy, or is it all about money?
All about money. He, because of his charm, because of his MO, he was able to keep women outside of prison, convinced of his innocence and of his good intentions. We know that there were some high-profile women that were involved in his life. In fact, one signed for his body and purportedly buried the body of what she claimed to be her common-law husband. She, of course, is a prime suspect in all of this. But, there must have been a lot of money that exchanged hands in this regard. One must understand, this is not the first scandal to come out of our prisons. Recently, there was the Leeuwkop scandal and the Kosimampura scandal, where there were actually syndicates behind prison walls operating extortion rings through social media networks, getting monies paid by e-wallets that the prison wardens would collect on their behalf, going as far as impersonating police officers from behind bars, phoning up people saying, listen, you exchanged nude photos online, we're coming to arrest you, that's illegal. So it just shows you the amount of corruption that exists behind prison walls and how easy it is for these guys to get away with it.
How common is this around the world in prisons, knowing that, of course, that this is a collection of people who have been found guilty of crime and therefore don't hold themselves to the highest moral standard?
I think every prison in the world has the possibility of being corrupted. It depends on how those prisons are managed. South Africa has an exceptional situation where our prisons are way over capacity. Our warders are scared for their lives. The gangs do control a certain amount of prison, especially in the awaiting trial section. In the convicted section, there's a lot more management of the prisoners. There's a lot more control over the prisoners. So one would imagine there that the complicity between warder and prisoner would be paramount in executing such a bizarre and audacious escape. But the world over, there's corruption within the prison system.
Very, very concerning. How seriously is the investigation around this being taken?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. It's the most important question of the day. The state says they are now taking it very seriously, but here is the problem. We are going through a wave of assassinations. Kidnappings are at an all-time high, as are CIT robberies. You have a very small pool of seasoned, veteran, experienced detectives within the police. Although the minister keeps on saying he's putting more boots on the ground, those are uniformed members in blue. They're there to maintain law and order. They're there to investigate contact crimes or to prevent crime from getting under control outside on the street. When it comes to a crime like this, you need a seasoned investigator. And there are so few now that are being allocated to all these different high-profile cases that one wonders what's going to happen next week when there's another high-profile case. Is an IO working on this case going to be plucked out and put onto that case? Because we really have a shortage of seasoned detectives within the police. That's the reality of it.
Very, very concerning, and when we look at the number of these cases, it's honestly, we can get whiplash from them. Just to seeing one after the other, Chad Thomas, CEO at IRS Forensic Investigations, talking to us about the Facebook rapist and the investigation into that situation. It is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.